This is Sunday morning, September 16, 2018. As I was praying this morning, it's been a tough few months, and sometimes you just kind of get weary in it. You know, you just feel like, and I was just sitting there quiet, and I was just saying, Lord, so many years, nothing. And this morning he said, daughter, you have no idea how big this is. What he said to me, you don't have a clue how big this is. I said, okay, I take you at your word, you know. But I do have a couple of things I should have put on the Prophet's Corner Uncut that I didn't say. These are not words that I had, but just yesterday I heard three different prophets yesterday, and usually I don't usually listen to anybody, but it was just short things. It just seemed like bam, bam, bam. I just came across them. And no, this is the teaching that I'm going to teach. But anyway, the first one was just a little excerpt from Mark Taylor. And he was asked a question about the midterms. And he said, it's going to be a red tsunami. A red tsunami. Well, later... I came across the Elijah list. I get posts every day from Elijah list, and more times than not, I don't even look at it. But this one caught my interest. It's about the midterms. It was a young prophet. I won't even mention his name. I've never heard of him. He was talking about that. Exact words. He said, it's going to be a red tsunami. Exact words. And he talked about Trump has been alone. He's felt like he stood alone. And I know early on when he was elected that there was a woman that had a dream about Donald Trump, that he was like an umpire. He's like this all the time. You know, he's kind of neutral. He didn't have any friends on either side. He was just making calls. But he didn't even know if anybody had his back. And there's times that I've seen him, like there was a deal where he was meeting with all the sheriffs and stuff. And this is when that New York op-ed came out accusing the president of a mole within the White House, that the sleeper cells were awaking. And I saw a look on his face that looked like he looked terrified. And it just hurt my heart to think what that man must go through and what he must feel. But anyway, what this young prophet had to say, he said, he asked him about the Supreme Court justices. He said, God has raised up a Samuel. There'll be one step down in California, which we know is Justice Kennedy. And he said, there'll be one that God is calling Samuel. He said, it's Brett Kavanaugh, the one that they are blasting with filth and crap right now. And he said, there'll be another who will be a Deborah. So the next appointment, we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. But what he did say was this. The parties will never be the same. He said, as soon as Bush Sr. dies, there's going to be a new spirit and a new, it's just a new spirit's going to flow into our nation. The parties are going to change. They're not going to be the way they have. And he said, and Donald Trump's going to have a three-chord strand that will not be broken through the Supreme Court, through the Senate and the House because of the blue tsunami, and of course him, the executive branch. The red tsunami is going to put people that are going to be on his side, that's going to work with him to do God's plan, because God has called him as a Cyrus, you know. And the third prophet I listened to was Dean Odle out of Alabama, and he's one of these, it's a little bit pessimistic, but what tickled me was he's picked up on cue. And actually, he had pulled some Q posts because he was just thinking that was just some silly something or other. But now he's saying he's hitting it right on, isn't he? Everything. You just look and you look back at the post. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to the patriots. He's speaking. This is God using whoever Q is. He's close to the president. Here he's saying the same thing. He's starting to pick up on, instead of this gloom and doom, we're all headed to hell and everything in a handbasket. He's starting to pick up on, God has given us a reprieve. See, this is what the Patriot movement has done. It's seen that God has put us in place. Yes, it is the last days, but we don't know how long this Revival will last. Noah preached 120 years of the flood. When it says there about man's days will be 120 years, he was talking about from the time that Noah built the ark and preached, it'd be 120 years until the flood came. He gave man 120 years to hear his voice and to make the right choice. So, I'm encouraged by that. I it just lifted me up and made me feel so much better that God is at work, and we need to trust Him. And today's teaching is about trusting His leaders. Staying on the right side of God. The title is called Suspicion and Sedition. And I have a song, you know, sometimes I just think, Lord, you just amaze me sometimes the way, the things you use to get words across. This is a song, I don't know if it was by Elvis originally, but this is a song he sang called Suspicious Minds. You remember it? We're caught in a trap. I can't get out. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? We can't go on together with suspicious minds. We can't build our dreams on suspicious minds. So if an old friend I know stops to say hello, would I see suspicion in your eyes? Here we go again, asking where I've been. You can't see the tears are real. I'm crying. Yes, I'm crying. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. With suspicious minds. And we can't build our dreams on suspicious minds. And let our love survive or dry the tears from your eyes. Don't let a good thing die. Well, honey, you know I've never lied. We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. And I'm thinking, Lord, sometimes, like I said, I think, well, they ought to remember that one. Just think about the children of Israel. Suspicious minds. Forget inquiring minds want to know, suspicious minds. That's what all they did was they, from the time that Moses came on the scene, all they did was second guess the man about everything, suspicious of everything, didn't trust him about anything. What happened? We can't get out. Round and round and round and round and round and round. That's what they did. Suspicious minds. There's a couple that went in, a couple of leaders that made it in. Joshua and Caleb. They embraced the will of God and said, I don't care who the leader is. But, you know, if you want to take the time to go back through there and read all of the stories of how they tempted God 10 times, well, how'd they tempt Him? They came through the leader. They came through Moses. If they didn't like the manna, they complained to Moses. They needed something to drink, they complained to Moses. We're tired of this bread. We want meat. Suspicious minds. They would never trust Moses. They would never trust. Even his own leadership came against him. Miriam and Aaron at one time. Everybody thinks that they know better. But I have a clue for you today. The leaders, just like was said in that prophecy, I'm just a mouthpiece of what God wants to say. More like the scribe. The Lord gives me things. I write them down. I relay them. I'm a voice piece. I'm not the maker of the plan. Never. That's got the church in trouble. This man doing their own thing, doing their own little canned sermons, because one church did one thing, and they said, well, they're growing. Let's just follow and do what they do. And so that's why the church always does the same thing. You see trends through the church instead of individual plans being worked out in the church and things getting done. No, let's just do all the same thing, and we're just one big hill here. We're a country club. We get nothing done. Suspicious minds. All right, suspicion and sedition, they go hand in hand. These are Satan's power twins to disrupt my plan. One leads to the other, and it is destructive, so that my plan becomes unproductive. Did God have a plan? He wanted to bring them out and take them in. It was an 11-day journey. Could have been. This is what suspicion is. The act or an instance of suspecting something wrong without proof or on slight evidence or mistrust. A state of mental uneasiness and uncertainty, doubt, a barely detectable amount or a trace. Always questioning. They questioned Moses about everything, even who he married. Sedition. Incitement of resistance to an insurrection against lawful authority. Now get that, against lawful authority. We are told to pray for our leaders in Scripture to keep our minds on the right side of God. Okay, well, there's two prayers. Y'all know the prayers, but we're going to look at them today. Matthew 6. This is all God has asked you to do for your leaders, unless He gives you specific and strategic plans to speak or to say. One of the prayers Jesus told the disciples to pray, and then Paul told Timothy, or it says in Timothy, that we were to pray a certain way for our leaders. This is Matthew 6, 9. Pray therefore like this, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive. I don't want to read the our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, I'm telling you, if you pray this prayer, you'll get it. You'll get your provision. You'll forgive and you'll be forgiven. And you won't be led into temptation. What gets us into trouble? Mouthing about things we have no right to mouth about, or no right to even say anything about. Our leaders, even if they're the nasty ones, we have to be careful, because this is the way God sees it. We saw how the Lord handled Moses' bunch. We read about Korah last week. You take too much of them yourself, Moses. We're leaders too, bless God, and we can do as good as you. Well, you know, yeah, you probably could. You might even be able to do better, but has God anointed you? I can't remember the minister that said that. Might have been Bob Yandian. He was talking about a time that he actually ended up, the church that he come up under, the leader in the church, he ended up really taking that church later. But I think it was him. There was a time that someone said, got mad at him because he got the pastorate and the other guy didn't. He said, I'm better than you. I can preach circles around you. Blah, 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 blah. He said, you're probably right, but there's one thing. I got the anointing. So if I'm a complete screw-up and sound like a donkey up here, I'm anointed to be a donkey. Brother Hagin used to say, if the Holy Ghost anoints a donkey to bray, you know, I'd rather have a donkey brand than have somebody up there that's got credentials. And all these degrees after their name, and they're eloquent speakers, but they ain't saying nothing. It's just dead and dry as dust. This is the prayers that God has given us to pray. 1 Timothy 2. Y'all know these. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right and pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, attested to at the right and proper time. And of this matter, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I do not falsify. I desire, therefore, that everywhere In every place, men should pray without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt. Lifting up holy hands. That's no suspicion. It just appalls me the way they talk about our president and the way they act. I'm just so ashamed of these people. Well, I will say this today. If you're anti-Trump, you are anti-God to your core. You're demon seed as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what you say about I'm born again, filled with the Spirit. Maybe you better go check up and see what spirit you really are of. If God says he's for Trump, you best, if you're a Christian, you best get yourself on board with Trump. Plain and simple. The Lord just said in that word, you'll step up and you'll say things with boldness without any fear of repercussion. How's it going to change unless we shut these people up? These mouths that are vomiting out their stuff, their sedition, their treason. I know we can't go around blasting everybody, but it's about time that we quit being so timid and shy and say, oh, bless God, no. There are times to speak. There's a time to speak and time to step up. I don't care if it costs you a sale. There's going to be a time. We're going to be held accountable. What takes the place over business? God's business. I don't know where that come from. Anyway, there you go. Honor God, the ultimate authority. Advancement of the kingdom of God mindset. Looking to God for our daily provision. Forgiving, receiving forgiveness, and trusting God's leadership. This is the way we're supposed to live. Not bashing, correcting, suspecting. God's leaders in his placed authority. He knows they're messed up. That's why he said pray for them. That's what's gotten the church off of President Trump. Because he's not Lily White and he doesn't do everything right. And maybe he had a girlfriend a few years ago. Maybe he had an affair. Maybe what? Who knows? Who cares? I don't. That's why the church has rejected him, because he was not in the conservative Christian mold. No, he's a Cyrus. And I'm convinced when he started running, he was probably not even a born-again Christian. But since, he has turned his face to God. He's got a council of pastors around him. He listens to. Cyrus didn't even know God. But God used him to bring his people back to where they needed to be and to build the temple. Restored the money to build the temple. Ooh! I just go, put them up. Okay, he does not need your help. He knows how to keep his authority in line if you will do what he is asking of you. God ordains this kind of praying. This keeps the way open for God's plan to move forward. If you're bashing them, you are blocking the way for him to work in them. He said, pray for him so he can do this. I want him to do this. I want him to do that. That's what we see President Trump doing. God can then do the correcting. He did not ask you to correct them, but to trust him. Okay? Suspicion leads to sedition, and it jams up the work so that God's will cannot be done. There's nothing worse than feeling like you are... that people are second-guessing what you do and what you say. Have any of you feel good? Do any of you feel good when that's going on in your life? Here, God has given you a call, and he's put it in you like fire, and people are questioning what you do and what you say. I mean, it happened all happened to Jesus. But it didn't stop him. Okay, coming out of Egypt, learning to trust God. I'm not going to go into all this today, but if you want to read these, I put down Exodus 14 and 16, Numbers 11, 12, 13, and 14. This is the reason they couldn't trust God, so they did not inherit. They couldn't go in. They blocked their blessings because they couldn't trust God. They were suspicious, and it led to sedition. Has God put us in a place to judge our leaders, spiritual or government? No. Are they nasty? Yes. But that's all the more they need to be prayed for. Just like I talked about Satan's genetic seed, the Nephilim. That's why the big push of wanting people's DNA. They want to change people's DNA. Why? Because when the Antichrist steps up, do you realize these Nephilim are going to rise also? I'm not surprised it won't be part of his army. These grays, you know, the ones they say are aliens, they're not. They're Nephilim. But the moment that mark is put on a person, they are forever sealed in it. That's the reason we need to pray for these people, because they don't realize that they're being seduced. They may, but they're still deceived. And until the mark is instituted and they take that physical mark, they have an opportunity. And if we're fighting our leaders and fighting each other, how are we ever going to get anything accomplished? Jesus said a house divided against itself can't stand. They say the success of the Democratic Party and how they've gotten to where they are, as evil as they are, is because they've stood together. Even the devil gets that concept. Now he overplays his hand always because he's crazy. Okay. All right. To pray for these leaders is for their good, and it's also for your good. It's not praying to discover something bad about them so you can go expose it to everybody. This bothers me. I hear that a lot. And I'm not one, even if a minister's off course, I'm not one to use their name. I just don't feel like I have the right to say that. Now, the Lord may have me warn you about something that maybe they're doing, but we need to pray for them, especially big leaders in the body of Christ. We need to pray for them that whatever needs to be corrected will be corrected. But that doesn't come from talking it among ourselves. It comes from being on your knees before God and asking God to lead them and help them if they're off course, correct their course. Because if their failure is also our failure. We're a body. Okay. If we think that we have never missed the mark, think again. Do we have the right? It's kind of like Jesus saying, take care of the toothpick in your brother's eye and get the telephone pole out of your own eye. Yeah. All right. No wonder the church and the government is in the place it is. We as the body have not been doing what we are supposed to do. It is not up to us to keep them on track and criticize them. It is our job to pray and let God do the changing or the critiquing. He'll turn the heart as he sees fit. Critique means to examine critically. Well, it comes back to what spirit are you of? Lord, he's not doing it the way we want him to do it. Do you want us to call fire down from heaven and just consume him? This is what the church is doing to our president, some of them. I know there was a group of black pastors, I think there was 80 of them, wrote a letter to the president about what you're going to do for us. I thought, you selfish bunch of, I never heard of, like, we're the body of Christ, not the Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, well. Okay. Sheep do not judge their leaders. Sheep do not judge sheep. This is why everything is in such a mess. A house divided against itself can't stand. Suspicion and sedition, these are Satan's power twins. They have thwarted God's plans. I said the world will know who you are because of the love you have and show to one another. That includes your leaders. Shepherds correct sheep. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2. Second Corinthians 2:23 says, but refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling. 2 Timothy 2:23.
You said
2
Corinthians.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, Timothy. Well, I meant Timothy. But refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they may will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him henceforth to do his will. Okay, so the leader is to do the correcting with gentleness, gently instruct those that oppose themselves. Okay, now look with me to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. It says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual. You who are spiritual, not carnal. Spiritual. You who are spiritual. Who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit. Should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ and Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it. You know, it's just as, it's like they talk about habits changing, getting in the habit of seeing the good and praising a strength in the person instead of picking out the thing in them that you don't like or and critiquing it. What a difference it would make in all of us. For if any person thinks himself to be somebody, too important to condescend to shoulder another's load when he is nobody of superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. But let every person carefully scrutinize, examine, and test his own conduct. We come back to the meddling thing. We need to be messing with the things that we need to be changing instead of trying to change everybody else. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. See, we're not even supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. That's the reason I don't listen to really many other prophets. Because we're all different. We have different calls. And you don't need to get boxed in to thinking, well, I've got to do it their way or I'm no good. Or I must have missed it because I don't have the visions they have or I don't do the things they do. You see how we answer to the Lord, and he's trying to train us in what he wants us to do, not be like Hillsong. He wants you to be like he's called you to be. Hillsong's great for Hillsong. But the problem we make of the body of Christ, we mimic. We're like a bunch of monkeys. You know, they're doing this over here. Well, we're going to do that. Well, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be doing something else. And you totally miss out what God wants you to do. Because you're watching because they got more people than you do or whatever. This is that comparing yourselves with other people instead of the unique person that God's called you to be with a unique call that only you can do. That's, you know, they have cemeteries to do that. They go and they all learn the same thing. And they go and pastor, they all pastor the same way and do the same thing. And they have conferences to pat each other on the back to make sure, yes, we're all doing the same thing. We're all doing what God wants us to do. Really? Are you? Where'd you get that plan? Did you get it from God? If it's God's plan, it's all right for you. If it's man's plan, no matter how well-meaning it may be, no, it's not God. For every person will have to bear, be equal to understanding, and calmly receive his own little load of oppressive faults. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contribute to his support. I'll stop that. Okay, between brother and sister, there are guidelines. Jesus put that down in his word. We're going to look at some of these. This is Matthew 18, the first one. But I challenge you, go read there, especially there in Numbers. Suspicious minds. Suspicion led to sedition. Sedition's when you act on suspicion. You call somebody out and accuse them. All right, Matthew 18:15. If your brother wrongs you, go and show him his fault between you and him privately. No, call everybody you know. Put it on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Get everybody on your side before you know you got a riot. Isn't that what's happening in our world, our country? Them Democrats, they like to gang up. They all say the same thing and accuse, and just like machine gun bullets. That's what they do. This is the devil, sedition. Show him privately, and if he listens to you, you have won back your brother. And if he does not listen, take along with you two or three others, so that every word may be confirmed and upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Oh, Lord, help us today. 1 Corinthians 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Impurity of a sort that is condemned does not occur even among the heathen, for a man has his own brother's wife. Now, Paul was called in on this. This was going on in the church. And he instructed the church leaders to turn this individual over for the destruction of the flesh as the elder, the overseeing elder in the situation. It wasn't the congregation putting him on a rail and running him out of town. The elders dealt with this man. They kind of excommunicated him for a while until he learned the error of his ways. And then later Paul says, bring him back in. I forgive him. If you forgive him, I forgive him. If you deem that he's learned what he needs to learn, we forgive him. We don't hold it over their heads for the rest of their life. And everybody knew that comes to church, we tell them, that's that one. You know, they did, you know. Just thought I'll let you know. Come on, this is how this kind of stuff gets started. Okay, Titus 3:10. As for a man who is factious, a heretical sectarian, and cause of divisions, after admonishing him a first and second time, reject him from your fellowship and have nothing more to do with him. Well aware that such a person has utterly changed, is perverted and corrupted. He goes on sinning, though he is convicted of guilt and self-condemned. So they got to the place that this kind of stuff they had to start putting out of their church because one bad apple was destroying the whole bunch. 1 Timothy 5. I think the best thing to do in most cases, if you need to come to your pastor about something, that's appropriate. But The best scenario is if you see something you don't like. I like what Burl used to say. Didn't know Burl that well, really. When he's around him, all I ever heard was him talk about golf. But occasionally he'd let loose a nugget and he would say, you know, when something happens and some person gets on the wrong side of me and I'm having problems with them, I just pray till I'm okay. In other words, he prayed the Lord would change in him what was causing him to not love that person. I thought, wow. Wow. It's pretty awesome, actually. 1 Timothy 5:20. As for those who are guilty and persist in sin, rebuke and admonish them in the presence of all, so that the rest may be warned and stand in wholesome awe and fear. So they didn't put up with it, the sedition. You know, Paul was pretty bold whenever he confronted Peter. He confronted Peter in the midst of leaders about the ham sandwich. Or the shrimp cocktail, I don't know. But see, if he hadn't stopped it, what would have happened? It would have spread through the fellowships, and it would have compromised some believers. Because here you're having Gentiles come in, and you have some Jews wanting to put them back over into Judaism. And they're being told, no, you don't have to be under that. And it was just a mess. But he nipped it in the bud. 2 Timothy 4:2, I think that was, is that what I just read? Did I just, no. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:2. Suspicious minds, trust your leaders. God wants you to trust your leaders. He trusts them. Or he wouldn't put them in that place. 2 Timothy 4:2, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, you being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction. I think we're at the time. But having ears itching for something pleasing, gratifying, that's why a lot of people maybe not won't fit here. I'm not here to play kumbaya. The glory days back at Morningstar or wherever. When that's what, during the charismatic movement, whenever that's where we were. That's where everybody was because it all just got filled with spirit and born again. No, this is time for a mature church to step up and begin to do what God wants them to do. This baby stuff is going to have to be put aside. And it seems tough, then go on back to the nursery. That type of church is over. It is. Now, there's going to be those that go on like that, but those that are moving forward and advancing forward and taking the message and doing God's will, His warriors, His mighty men of valor, they will gather to themselves, one teacher after another, to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking to foster the errors they hold. They'll keep going to their seminars, keep doing their little thing, hearing the same thing, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. If you're a minister in the body of Christ today and you're not getting it and you're not moving on, there's something wrong. That's what delighted me about Dean Odle. He's talking about Q. I thought, thank you, Lord, he's getting it. Another one, come on board. He's seeing the truth. He's seeing what God is doing. He sees that God is wanting to do something, not us camp out on our suitcases. And we're going to die. We're all going to die. The end is here. Yeah, we're in the end of days, but we're not in the end of the days. Not yet. We've got a lot of work to do before that happens. If it happened right now, so many would die and go to hell. So many. He's raising us up to take him the message. As for you, be calm and cool and steady, accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fully perform the duties of your ministry. See, Paul is supposed to leave. He's fixing to leave. He's fixing to be out of there. And he had groomed Timothy. He's telling Timothy, step up, be a man. You know, do your office right. Don't be afraid. Take care of things. Take charge. Do what I've called you to, the Lord has called you to do. Be strong in it. That's what it's going to take, strong leaders in this day and this hour. Okay, James 5. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another person brings him back to God, let the latter one be sure that whoever turns a sinner from his evil course will save the one soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins, procure the pardon of the many sins committed by the convert. That's snatching somebody out of the jaws of the Antichrist right there. Because once they're sealed, once this mark goes in place, they can't. They are forever sealed to the pit. We can't do anything after that. We've got, it's like Jesus said, work while it's day, because the night's coming when no man can work. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 3. Trust your leaders. Your government leaders, your church leaders, trust your leaders. Take them to God. Trust God to work in your leaders. 2 Timothy 4:2.
What about 2 Thessalonians?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm just all over the place today. 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Okay, right here. 14. But if anyone in the church refuses to obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person, do not associate with him so that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but simply admonish and warn him as being still a brother. He's just talking about correction in the church. So much of the church today, it's everybody and their dog comes, and they're in all kinds of different conditions, and I can understand that to a certain degree, but there comes a time where in their spiritual life that they can't get by with that anymore. They're going to have to start coming up higher. And I believe if it's taught from the pulpit and people know, they'll know. But there's places where it's just a social thing. Okay. Romans 16:17. I appeal to you, brethren, to be on your guard concerning those who create dissensions and difficulties and cause divisions in opposition to the doctrine, the teaching which you have been taught. I warn you to turn aside from them, to avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires, and by ingratiating and flattering speech they beguile the hearts of the unsuspecting and simple-minded people. For while your loyalty and obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I would have you well-versed and wise as to what is good and innocent and guiltless as to what is evil. That way this can happen, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. See, we've got to keep the devil out. Period. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Got quite a few scriptures here. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction and correction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is like a brute beast, stupid and indiscriminating. Okay, we're going to flip. We're flipping back and forth. Luke 17. Verse 1. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, snares, traps set to entice to sin are sure to come, but woe to him by or through whom they come. It would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea than that he should cause to sin or be a snare to one of these little ones, lowly in rank or influence. Yeah, we got to be careful. Matthew 7, 1. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned, and in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me get the tiny particle out of your eye, when there is the beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. Kind of says it all, doesn't it? Okay, Acts 20. Take care and be on your guard for yourselves and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you bishops and guardians to shepherd, tend, and feed and guide the church of the Lord or of God, which he obtained for himself, buying it and saving it for himself with his own blood. I know that after I'm gone, ferocious wolves will get in among you, not sparing the flock. You have to look at it this way. This fellowship, as far as Jesus is concerned, you're his flock. Now, he's put me up here to bring instruction, but he sees you as his flock. That's how he looks at things. I know, I guess it was Sister Claire Grace that, maybe it's her, the prophet that Brother Hagin leaned on pretty heavily, but at a church service, she saw Jesus come in on a white horse and he was surveying the troops. It's very up close and personal for him, and we need to view it that way. Well, it's just not a meeting we come to and we hear some good stuff and we go on about our business. No, we're in the company of angels. Jesus is surveying the troops. He's perceiving, are they getting it? Because next week, if you're not getting it, he's going to give me another round. Another flyby. We buzz the tower as many times as we have to buzz the tire. Okay, Romans 14. I'm not going to read that because my next teaching is going to get into that. Okay, you know what? I think y'all get the point. Hebrews 13, 7. Okay. Don't ever buy these little tabs. Remember your leaders and superiors and authority, for it was they who brought to you the word of God. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. So he's saying, trust your leaders. They watch for your soul. Stop being suspicious and trust God. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He's leading the sheep by the green pastures and the still waters. He's restoring your soul.